Jesus tells those disciples in what's called his last words, his farewell discourse, hey, because I live, you're going to live also. Mm. So there is something about unlocking the truth of the resurrection in our life. But we're living in a time where most Christians don't understand the facts of our faith.
Yeah.
They don't understand, wait a minute, you really believe? You truly believe someone came back from the dead? Yes, because the evidence compels me to believe that.
Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Shelby Abbott, and your hosts are Dave and Ann Wilson. You can find us at familylifetoday.com.
This is Family Life Today. All right, so we have a doctor in the house.
I like it when we have doctors in the house.
Well, don't you always consider me like a scholar? Look at you laugh. Look at that
no,
laugh.
Yes, you are a total scholar.
Whatever.
But let me, here's a question I have for you.
What?
Do you ever doubt? Are you a doubter when it comes to the claims of Christ?
You've been married to me 43 years. Go ahead and answer that question for our listeners.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Not so much now. But
no,
you
but there's
used
always,
to.
I want
proof.
I don't want somebody to just tell me. I want some proof and some evidence. And we've got, I'm kidding, but he is a doctor with a PhD. Jeremiah Johnston is back on Family Life Today. Welcome back.
It's so great to be with you, Dave and Ann. I always love our conversations.
We do
it's
too.
Such a privilege to be with you in this great ministry that God is using so tremendously. So I'm excited about this conversation.
And you know what? I just realized you have a radio voice.
Doesn't he?
Man. Your voice
you.
Is really good for podcasting.
So I don't have a face for TV, is that what you're saying?
Well, I watched you preach at Preston Wood on what we're talking about the resurrection. And I was, you know, not only a good-looking guy up there in your jacket, right, but man, I'm like, I never had a voice like that, you know? But, you know, it's interesting. Sometimes I do this, Jeremiah, when we have a guest on, especially somebody that's been on here before. You know, a song comes to me, and I was in the shower this morning.
No, don't act like this
we
is
going to
be a very
handy.
Spiritual
okay.
song.
Yeah, no.
Oh, no.
It's not a deep kind of beautiful.
Okay. No, one came to me this morning in the shower, and I don't know where the tune came from, but it sort of just came to my head.
Let's see if I've heard it.
Jeremiah is a scholar, can answer anything you ask. He's a frequent flyer and a real good writer, and he sure is a friend of mine, and he's always connected to the vine. Singing boy, he can teach to all the unreached now. You think that Jesus is just a spoof? Jeremiah's got the body of proof.
That was awesome. Mic drop.
You know, I don't know where that tune came from. You ever heard that tune before?
Oh, Jeremiah.
Dave.
It's only
Dave
family
Wilson,
life.
Everybody.
No, we are talking.
No, when you first said it, he was thinking, oh, this is going to be, you know, this solemn, deep theological.
That was spirit-filled.
That was spirit-filled. Something like that. Three Dog Night back in the 70s. Jeremiah, you weren't even born yet.
Oh, wow.
You've heard that song, though, right?
Of course.
Yeah,
many
sure.
times.
It's better than
that,
your...
And I've seen Jeremiah Johnson out there, if anyone's wondering, the movie with Robert Redford, all that. So.
Yeah. So, I mean, update our listeners on what you do, because this, you know, the scholar part, New Testament, you really are. This is your lane
Absolutely.
That God's given you. So what do you
Absolutely.
Do with that?
So I think being a Christian means that we should know what we believe and why we believe it. We should know the great evidence for our faith. We share this amazing common faith that's been around for 2,000 years. It's radically changed the world. It's changed healthcare. It's changed societies. It's brought equality, freedoms. It's the gospel unleashed is the greatest force for good on planet Earth. But like so many believers, my wife and I were newly married, and we didn't consider ourselves Christian thinkers, and we wanted to be. That's not a put down to anyone. we read this passage, love God with your heart, soul, and your mind. And Audrey and I are doing our devotions together. And I'm just saying, hey, I'm not sure we really love God with our mind like we need to. And so for us, and everyone's calling's different, as you all know, but God called me to go to the highest levels. I studied in Oxford. I literally did a PhD on the physical bodily resurrection of Jesus with Middlesex University. And I have now this great evidential base for our faith that empowers me every single day. Every day I'm living in 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, be strong, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And here's what's cool about it, Dave. When we know what we believe and the evidence for it, we're so much more relaxed in faith conversations. Mm-hmm. I'm a better listener because I know about the resurrection. I can really hear people and what they're struggling with, and I can listen to those questions because I'm so firm in what I believe. It makes you truly immovable. Doesn't mean I'm immovable. The truth and the power of the resurrection in my life makes me immovable.
Now, is this something sort of like me that you struggle with? Like, I have questions. I'm a skeptic or not?
I wake up a doubter every single morning and a false teacher in my heart that has to be put down every single day. I believe in Psalm 42 and 43. I have to preach the truth to myself every single day. I mean, that's Psalm 42 and 43, just preaching to yourself constantly the truth. And I really bear witness with what the dad said in Mark 9, my favorite scene in the gospel, 22 to 24, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Yeah. And none of us have certainty. I want to make this very clear. Faith does not equal certainty. Faith equals trusting God through the uncertainty. And so when I have certainty in my faith, that will be when I see Jesus face to face. But the great thing about our faith is it doesn't mean we have to be clueless either. Faith is something to believe in. We don't faith our faith. We faith what we believe.
You use an analogy, not really analogy, but fact, faith, feeling. You're sitting on the campus of Campus Crusade for Christ, crew, where Bill Bright, I don't know if you remember the Four Spiritual Laws, he
and
had
the train.
That little train.
Yes.
Fact, faith, feeling. And I remember as a young believer in college, that simple illustration helped me. Because I thought faith meant you just faith. You just believe. And it's like, wait, no. I mean, I don't get on an airplane without checking out the propeller hanging off the, you know, the wing. I'm not going to, I'll just have faith it's going to, you know, there's fact that is the foundation. So talk to our listeners about that, because I think a lot of us still think it's just a faith thing with no evidence.
Yeah, and our listeners need to understand that they're no different from the first generation of Christians. The first generation of Christians struggled with immense doubt. In fact, the disciples left Jesus. Yeah. Let's make sure we don't forget the story. These are real people, real places, real events. They had given up. When Cleopas and the unnamed disciple are on the 7-mile journey back to Emmaus, they don't realize they're walking with Jesus. And they say, don't you know what's happened and transpired in Israel? We had hope, Luke 24:21. We had hoped he was the Messiah, but hey, he just got massacred on a cross. He's not the guy.
Yeah.
Nobody expected their Messiah to rise from the dead and conquer death. What changed everything, what changed their feelings, what changed their mindset, what indeed changed their faith was the fact that Jesus was seen to be physically alive after death. He was seen for a period of 40 days. He was seen by over 500 people. In 1 Corinthians 15, we have three groups and three individuals named. This is fascinating to me. There seems to be this notion in Christianity at times that it's all about feelings. It's all about vibing. No, it was all about the facts of the faith in the first century. And those facts alone, the death, deity, and resurrection of Christ, not only changed those first followers from skeptics, truly, from cynics, to the most powerful force on earth. And that's what the resurrection can do in our life today. And that's why in my book, Body of Proof, which is now a 4-week Bible study, I'm advocating for the fact that as Christians, we don't study the resurrection enough. For pastors listening, we don't preach the resurrection enough. Are you kidding me? The resurrection is the focus of every sermon in the book of Acts. There are 300 passages, over 300 actually. How do I know? I've counted every single one. There's over 300 passages in the New Testament about the physical bodily resurrection of Jesus. And that's fascinating to me because there's only 260 chapters. Yeah. So you can do the math in your head. The promise, Dave and Ann, that we're given more than any other promise in Scripture is the promise of John 14:19. Jesus tells those disciples in what's called his last words, his farewell discourse, "Hey, because I live, you're going to live also." Mm. And that promise is repeated 24 times in the New Testament. So there is something about unlocking the truth of the resurrection in our life. But we're living in a time where most Christians don't understand the facts of our faith.
Yeah.
They don't understand, wait a minute, you really believe? You truly believe someone came back from the dead? Yes, because the evidence compels me to believe that.
And I'm excited about this one. Dave and I were just talking, like, we can't wait to go through this. It's 4 weeks, but you went over to Israel. Why did you go over there to do this Bible study?
Well, what was fascinating to me was I really did believe that the resurrection was under-preached, under-taught. I wasn't prepared for the reaction for the original book, Body of Proof, which God used tremendously. Then I was approached by the world's largest Bible study publisher, Lifeway. We've all done the Priscilla Shire, Beth Moore type Bible studies. And they said, hey, let's take a crew with you to these very sites in Israel. And let's go to those places that you have talked about as the great evidences for our faith. And so we got on a plane. We had two drone cameras where you can fly drones in Israel. You can't fly drones everywhere. They might get shot down. And four cameras. And we went to the, what I call, epicenter of Christianity. We went to Lazarus's tomb. And I yelled with a loud voice as if I was Jesus. Duro exo in Greek. Lazarus, come out. But then I talked about the hope that that message gave to the immediate hearers. This is not some kind of academic thing we're talking about today. Mm. People had questions of triggers in their life. When Mary and Martha approached Jesus in Bethany, which is just 1.8 miles from Jerusalem, and the sisters must have been talking about Jesus before he got there, because they both asked him the same question. Mm-hmm. Hey, Jesus, if you had been there, this tragedy wouldn't have happened in my life. I hear a different question. Where were you, man?
Yeah.
Why didn't you show up?
Yes. That question.
And so,
why, Lord, where were you?
Jesus, though, he doesn't get upset at their question. He gives them evidence. But before he performs this great miracle of raising up Lazarus, and there I am in Bethany at the very tomb.
What'd that feel like?
It was incredible.
Had you seen it before?
It was hot. Have you been in a tomb lately? There was no airflow. I'm dripping in sweat.
So you walked into it.
Oh, I was inside the crypt, as we call it. Mm. And I could just see in my mind's eye what happened. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. If you believe in me, though you die, you will live on forever. And he says, do you believe this? Mm. Jesus doesn't shame us for our doubts. Mm. He sharpens us. Mm. He gives us an answer, but it's not just an answer, oh, I'm a smarter Christian now. That was not the point. It was, wow, that answer of the resurrection is like the balm of Gilead for my soul right now. It's that balm that I need. And so for anyone who's listening to us right now, that's the power of John 11. That's the power of the widow of Nain's son in Luke 7. That's the power of Jairus's daughter, the ruler of the synagogue. And it's also the power that will reach our own family members. I discussed this. One of the great evidences for the body of proof is the fact that Jesus's family thought he was nuts.
Yeah.
How can I say that, Jeremiah? Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 6, John chapter 7. It's actually said a little nicely in John 7, not even his brothers believed in him. But in Mark 3 and Mark 6, they think his brother's a lunatic. They think he's out of his mind. How does James go from wanting to admit Jesus in a psych ward because they think he's nuts, that he truly doesn't thinks he's a lunatic, to being the leader of the Jerusalem church? Mm-hmm. Well, 1 Corinthians 15 tells us, and then he appeared to James, the Lord's brother. And James goes from being the biggest skeptical family member, we all have those, to being willing to die for his faith in AD 62
for
one reason. And did, was stoned to death. And friends, he only did it for one reason, the fact of the resurrection. And so wherever you're doubting today, we're all on that doubt scale. And we have good days and we have bad days. But my heart is that we would understand this isn't just something we hear about when we do a funeral service or we hear about at Easter time. Every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday in the life of the church. We have resurrection power in us today. 1 Peter 1:3 3 says that we have a living hope right now, because not because of feelings, not because everything's going great in our life. There's only one reason that Peter said it's because the physical bodily resurrection of Jesus. And I love that we have a living hope.
How has that played out personally in your life, to see that when you've needed hope? I was just thinking about your dad.
Oh,
he's gone through some things.
It's very kind of you to remember that. My dad, we went through the most difficult year we've ever been through. Being called and said my dad had days to live, not an exaggeration, and we had to set our house in order. I had to make some of those calls to brothers-in-law, like, hey, don't tell my sister, but we need to all get to Houston as soon as possible.
And were you close? Are you close with
your dad? Very close. My dad's my best friend. And to literally help him with basic human needs during his time. In fact, last time I saw you all, he was still hospitalized, still dying. Well, God has gloriously healed him. But here's the amazing thing. I want to not go to the healing. I want to go to those moments, the 20 days on the cancer ward of the med center, where I was having a doctor. I didn't know they could do this to you. They said, do not leave. They're saying it's that serious.
Yeah.
We need you to be here. And, you know, and my mom, watching her, they'd been married since they were 19. They got saved in a revival my dad preached in Western Michigan. She's a Michiganer. But I saw the power of the resurrection in those moments, because there was no fear. There was anxiety, of course. There was uncertainty. But we knew, do you know what the term God gave me? This is real scholarly. God's got this. God's got this. He raised his son from the dead, no matter what we win. So there was never that kind of fear that people without God have, the hopelessness.
Right.
And I found myself wondering as I walked those cancer halls and wondering, are these people going to make it? Is my dad going to make it? How do people do it without the living hope of the resurrection? So, Anne, that's such a great point. And yes, God did heal my dad. But for those that may have not experienced a healing this side of heaven, the power of the resurrection is that it's just a temporary goodbye. The power of the resurrection is we will see our loved ones again, and we will see them at their greatest point. A lot of us have to say bye to our loved ones when they're at their weakest, and it's hard to get those memories out of our mind. The power of the resurrection is that same body that Jesus raised up, we're going to have the same kind of bodies.
I remember when my sister was dying of cancer, and she was only 44. Wow. I remember her saying to me, I know that he's going to heal me. And I remember after she had passed, I went to the Lord and said, I thought you were going to heal her. And in my heart, it's that confirmation. I did heal her. She is healed. She's with me. It may not have been on that side of heaven, but she's with me. And one of the last things my sister said to me was, I will meet you.
Amen.
At the gates. And isn't that the hope?
That's the power of hope. And I mean, that's why we spend one whole week in the Bible study on the hope of the resurrection, both for today and forever. It's interesting. We kind of lose sight of the fact that the word hope is used 100 times in the New Testament. And we often lose sight of that. I mean, even that passage that a lot of Christian apologists like to use, 1 Peter 3:15, always be ready to give an answer for the hope that it was in us. 1 Peter, the hope of the resurrection. Romans talks about the hope that literally steps on the head of Satan, literally crushes him. This is the hope that we unlock. And so the more I understand about Jesus's resurrection, the more I understand my own future resurrection. They are linked.
Yeah.
There's a linkage there. The more assurance that I have that Jesus conquered death and sin and Satan, the more assurance I have that I will. So guess what? I can be victorious today. I can be on message for the faith today. I don't have to be defined by the anxiety anymore. I don't have to be defined by the hurt. I don't have to be defined by something that terrible that happened to me in the past or my trauma. I can be defined that that same power that raised Jesus from the dead, the Bible promises, is at work in me right now. And those aren't just words on a page. I've seen how those words empowered the least likely people to become powerful for God.
Now, how do you dig out when you're struggling? I mean, last time you were here, we talked a little bit about anxiety.
Right.
You know, when Ann was walking through her sister dying, you know, and as a pastor, I walk beside people every week that really believe in a resurrection, but in this moment, it's dark.
Right.
And they feel like they're in a valley, and they sort of have to dig out. It's all like they've got to take what they believe— loving the Lord with all their mind and get it into their soul.
Absolutely.
How does that happen? Because I know you've been there. We've all been there.
Yes, I'm there. And again, like I said, I almost wake up with it every day sometimes. But I've been there in extremely dark times. And I have to go to John chapter 20. For me, I always go to the Word of God. The Word of God in John chapter 20, we have Mary who is going to spice the body of Jesus. This is normal with Jewish burial traditions. She thinks the gardener has taken the body. It's dark. She doesn't recognize Jesus. There aren't streetlights everywhere. And then there's this powerful moment in John chapter 20. If you read the text, it says, she saw and believed. Now, she'd already believed in Jesus, but sometimes we need to see him with fresh eyes. Mm-hmm. And so I'll ask the Holy Spirit of God, Spirit of God, I need to see Jesus with fresh eyes today. And the passage there is Hebrews 12:2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Mm-hmm. There is something about locking into Jesus when we're at our worst and we realize that he loves us. He builds a super highway to us when we're at our worst. That's Isaiah chapter 40. He's always pursuing us. John 13, having loved them, he loved them to the end. You know what's fascinating about that? Most of us, you know, we have a very few amount of people that really, truly love us. And the more people know about us, the less people love us.
Yeah.
The cool thing about Jesus and why I love the end of John chapter 13, again, right before he goes to the cross, right before he raised from dead, Jesus, knowing they're going to ditch him, literally, that they're going to unfriend him, they're going to unfollow him. Having loved them, he loved them to the end. Mm-hmm. Jesus loves us with a perfect love. And so, Dave, I wrap myself in those truths, first of Scripture. Secondly, I ask the Lord to help me see Jesus like Mary in John 20. She had already seen him, but she needed to see him again. She saw and believed. She needed that reassurance. In that critical moment, Jesus met her at that critical moment. So, Lord, today, meet me at my greatest point of need. Mm-hmm. And that's all I have to pray. I don't have to give God the details.
Yeah.
And then he lets me see him again. And then I keep pursuing him. I keep seeking him. And that's when transformation happens in those really dark moments.
I like that. I'm stuck on, he builds a super highway to us. That's in Isaiah what?
Isaiah 40.
Super highway to us. What's that say? Do you know?
Oh, yeah. It was actually quoted in all four Gospels by John the Baptist. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John the Baptist is literally quoting Isaiah 45 through 8, that Jesus will stop at nothing. He literally will level the mountains. Mm. He'll make straight the paths. There's no road that's too rocky. There's no mountain that's too tall for him to pursue us.
I like that.
Yeah, and I like your answer of, I need a fresh eyes.
Yes.
To see Jesus. Because when you're stuck, and we all get stuck.
Always.
You know, I know the resurrection. I've done my homework. I've studied it. I've looked at the prophecies. Somebody quizzes me on it, I can answer, but there's times where you're just like, he's not showing up. Mm. You know, you start to question again. Is this all just, and you need fresh, you need to see in a fresh way. And it could be, for me, it's just what you said. It's scripture. As I'm reading through, it's like, Lord, give me eyes to see this in a fresh way. And he does. Other times it's a worship song. Other times it's the things that God uses is that certainty. It just goes, okay. I'm good again. You said it earlier, when you're secure, you're free.
That's right.
You know, when you're not on stable ground, you're always trying to find your security. But when you're on solid ground of the resurrection, you take risk. You live boldly. You run fast.
That's right.
Because you have a security that I think everybody longs for.
But there's also one other element I'll say.
Yeah, what's that?
The resurrection teaches us to live in the grace that we have today. Mm. We can't live on yesterday's grace or tomorrow's grace. God gives us enough grace for us today. So sometimes living the resurrection for you might be getting up, getting ready, having a shower, getting a cup of coffee, going through your day. That's a really courageous thing to do. Mm. It might be going to church when no one else in your family is. We're not just talking about writing books or debating people on YouTube or speaking play. We're talking about the really courageous thing that I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep walking in the directionality of my faith. I'm going to be like Mary. You know, I might think Jesus is the gardener. Mm-hmm. I might be like the dad in Mark chapter 9, where we were earlier, who says, hey, God, he didn't even say God. He said, hey, if you can do anything, will you? I love Jesus's response there. If I can. And he said, well, I believe, help my unbelief. And that was enough faith for him to see Jesus with new eyes. Mm. And so that's what I'm praying for the audience today as we talk about this discussion. Let the resurrection point you with new, fresh eyes to see Jesus the way he wants you to see him.
Give us new, fresh eyes to see him the way he wants us to see him.
Yeah, what I like is what you just said is take another step.
That's right.
It's that courageous. Because to get out of bed and take a step forward
Huge.
Could be a very courageous thing. Mm. If you're just stuck right there, just take a step.
That's
and
right.
then another.
I have this friend who I called her, haven't called her in a while, and the Lord put it on my heart to reach out to her. I know she struggles with a diagnosis that's pretty mm-hmm. rough in terms of mental illness. And so I called her. I said, hey, God's really been putting you on my heart. How are you doing? And she said, oh, Ann, I am in the darkest, darkest place. I can't even get out of bed. Mm-hmm. I'm in such a deep depression. I said, man, that's got to be so hard. And I prayed for her on the phone. I said, come to church tonight. Mm-hmm. She goes, I can't. I can't get out of bed. I said, just get out of bed, mm-hmm. take a shower, and come to church. Just come. You're not going to feel like it, but just come. Let me see you. Let us pray over you. And that's what she did. She came. She's like, I came. I know I look yep. terrible. Don't look at me, but I'm here. I'm like, that's a victory.
Huge.
He got you out of bed. You did it. You took a step mm-hmm. and you put your eyes on Jesus. And then she came again last week. So I like that. It's just giving us steps like, Lord, give me the power to take one step today.
And if I can just say something about vulnerability there, thank you for sharing that. Mm. You know, earlier you talked about how I filmed in Jerusalem and the power of the Holy Spirit. I went there, but I can remember a point being in the Costco parking lot with my wife, Audrey. Mm-hmm. And I was so racked with anxiety, I couldn't go in. You're going to have to go in. And someone might be listening, laughing right now. I couldn't. I had that much anxiety. And I sat in the front seat while she went in and did the shopping. And I just thought, God, what is going on with me right now? I just had to tell my wife I couldn't go into Costco.
What was it?
It was just anxiety. It was, you know, things that don't make sense don't make sense. And yeah. I learned a long time ago, stop trying to make sense of things that don't make sense.
Yeah.
But just to give people hope, you know, I look back at that now, not with any shame. I just thank God that I took some step that day.
Yeah, being honest.
And I mean, we run into people everywhere. You know what it's like being a pastor. Hi, how you doing? You know, even at Costco and... Yeah. I just want to share that for our audience with vulnerability. The power of the resurrection for me that day was not being able to go to Costco. But I got through it.
Yeah.
And guess what? One day, many months later, I went to Israel, filmed everywhere like a boss full of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
But, you know, wherever you're at today, God will meet you at your greatest point of need. And I'm not just saying that. Mm. I'm living that.
Yeah.
And how did Audrey respond?
Pray for me.
Because I think how your spouse responds is really important, too. She didn't say, oh, come on.
She is so spirit-filled. She said, I've got this. Mm. I'll go get the waters, but you need to help me put them in the back of the Suburban. Mm. I'm not going to do that. You have to get out and help me lift the waters.
Yeah.
But she said, I understand. And she said, we're going to get through this together. And I would not be sitting here doing all the fun things I'm doing without a spouse like that.
Mm.
I love that Jeremiah talked practically about the power of the resurrection impacting and directing his life all the way down to the parking lot in Costco. That's what the power of Easter can and does do for us when we admit our need. We are weak people, and when we are weak, then we are strong because it's an opportunity for God to show up. I'm Shelby Abbott, and you've been listening to David Ann Wilson with Jeremiah Johnston on Family Life Today. Jeremiah has written a book called Body of Proof. It's a Bible study book with video access that's a study on the resurrection of Jesus. So if you're going to be leading a Bible study in your church or in your community or in a small group of some kind, this would be the perfect resource for you. Not only do you get to teach something, but you get to learn something about the resurrection at the same time. So the book and the video access study is going to be our gift to you when you partner with us today. So you can get your copy right now with any donation by going online to familylifetoday.com and clicking on the Donate Now button at the top of the page. Or you can give us a call with your donation at 800-358-6329. Again, that number is 800, F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. Or you can feel free to drop a donation in the mail to us if you'd like. Our address is Family Life, 100 Lakehart Drive, Orlando, Florida, 32832. If you do send us something in the mail, make sure that you mention that you want to request a copy of the Body of Proof study by Jeremiah Johnston. Now, tomorrow, Jeremiah is going to be back talking about encouraging curiosity and addressing doubts specifically with our children and their faith. That's coming up tomorrow. We hope you'll join us. On behalf of David Ann Wilson, I'm Shelby Abbott. We'll see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a donor-supported production of Family Life, a crew ministry, helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.